Good evening. John has left me tonight with the topic of praise, and it's based on Psalm 8. So if you've got either a technological device to follow Psalm 8 or even an old-fashioned paper Bible, surely not, feel free to find Psalm 8. The thing I particularly love about this one is it says it's written for the choir director and it's supposed to be accompanied by a stringed instrument. I'm not going to ask for any volunteers, but if you could just imagine that in the background as I'm reading Psalm 8. So Psalm 8 goes like this. O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. Your glory is higher than the heavens. You have taught children and infants to tell of your strength, silencing your enemies and all who oppose you. When I look at the night sky and I see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you set in place, what are mere mortals that you should think about them, human beings that you should care for them? Yet you made them only a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You gave them charge of everything you made, putting all things under their authority, the flocks and the herds and all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, and everything that swims the ocean's currents. O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. And I think it's quite clear why John chose that psalm for the theme of praise. And I was thinking, you know, what do we mean when we say praise? And when I looked it up, it was as simple as praise is esteem for someone or something. And it came apparently from the French origin, meaning to prize something. If we praise, it's because we prize that thing, we value that thing. And I guess we have very sort of similar ways of expressing praise in whatever context it might be. I don't know if, Martin, you could put the first picture up. Here are some pictures of people praising. And I think you'll see in all of them, whether it's just friends on the beach enjoying a day together or football. I haven't put Chelsea up there for a reason, Vicar. I thought there might not be much praising going on at the moment. So some sort of obscure Norwegian team, possibly. Bottom corner here, these are ladies at a Robbie Williams concert. I definitely look like that when I go to one of those. And if you were watching the New Zealand game yesterday, no doubt, you know, any sort of players looking like that, but the fans around the side. And if we're praising, whatever the motivation for that praise, it's sort of summed up, isn't it, and recognised by similar things. So I guess in all of those, there are people smiling. In all of those, there are people using their hands, often up in the air, in sort of joy. Often there's dancing, there's singing. And I guess in all of those contexts, when we say praise, there's something that's synonymous with those actions, with sort of celebration, positivity, great joy, and sort of intense emotion in that joy. And I think, you know, those pictures prove that as human beings, we are a praising people. We enjoy those sorts of events where big groups of people are sort of moved with emotional intensity for some specific motivation. And I guess, therefore, you know, praise is about a desire to show that expression of admiration and love to something or someone. And in this psalm, obviously, we're not being asked to give praise for the New Zealand rugby team or Robbie Williams. I'm sure that's just because it was written a long time before. I'm sure if those things had been in existence, they would have been in the Psalms. But anyway, clearly here it's about praising God. And the psalmist gives us lots of reasons why we should praise our God. You know, things like his name is majestic in all the earth. He is a God with total control, total power, total omniscience. He has a stronghold against the enemies. You know, again, that total power, that total plan. In the work of his fingers, the moon and the stars, we can see how marvelous and how powerful he is. I don't know about you, but you just have to look at the changing leaves at this time of year, the landscape around us. And to be able to dismiss the fact that a creator exists to me is quite incredible when you look at the beauty of the landscape and the intricacy of it. And yet, you know, this great creator, this masterful, skillful worker had the love and the grace to think of us, mere mortals, and has given us authority, you know, over the birds of the air and the creatures and the land in which we live. And so I don't think, you know, there's any reason any sort of reason that we could be unclear as to why, yes, we should be praising God. The psalmist sets it out really clearly, and I doubt there would be anybody here who would disagree with those reasons for praising God. And I got to that point and I was thinking about this, and I thought, well, that's it. Job done. End of the sermon. Great. We'll all be out within 5 minutes. I thought, what else is there to say about praise, really? Those are the reasons we praise God. And I thought, oh, God, you know, what do you want me to say about this? And then he sort of challenged me about two things, really, that I wasn't really expecting when he was talking to me about praise. And the first one was that there's a problem with the way that we look at praise. And that problem is the type of experience that we think praise is. So we tend to think of praise as these sorts of events. They're high emotional charged. They're high intensity. They're about celebration. They're about happiness and raw emotion. And I guess then we begin to sort of possibly be disappointed if we feel that our worship doesn't live up to that level of experience. I don't know whether, Martin, can you put the next picture up? You know, if you came to church and it was like this, does that say praise? If you go to the next one, it might well be a bit nearer, yeah, perhaps praise, or even to the next one, praise. And we begin to make judgments almost because we associate praise with this sense of high emotion, celebration, and a sort of high expectation. And we can end up feeling disappointed because of that expectation. I don't know about you, but if I worshipped alongside this gentleman every Sunday morning, I think I would begin to feel a bit disheartened because I might think, what's he getting that I'm not? Am I not praising hard enough? Do I not love God enough? Why do I not feel as moved by that as that, maybe every Sunday? Would I feel a bit guilty if my mind wanders, you know, if halfway through worship I'm thinking, now what was I doing for dinner tomorrow? You know, does that mean then that I'm sort of inadequate as somebody that's praising God? And I think there's a risk if we start thinking that praise is about the experience. I think we're not thinking about praise in the right way. I really felt God was saying to me, look, praise isn't about how tuneful you are. So you're all right, Vicar. Praise isn't about how loud you sing. It's not about how many times you fall on your knees. It's not about how joyful you are. Praise is about the intention in taking part in the first place. It's about us giving something to God and showing that we want to sing to him. It's not about what we get out of it. It's about the fact that we've come with the intention of wanting to give something. And therefore, you know, that first picture of the people just standing more quietly doesn't mean that they are praising any less, that they are loving any less, that they are admiring God and respecting God any less. It is enough to stand quietly. And it doesn't matter whether you're singing loudly or dancing madly, your offering of praise is the same as the person that's sitting quietly thinking about God's presence. So that was the first thing that God really challenged me on, was that, you know, don't confuse praise with high show of emotion. Praise is your intent. It's your intention to want to meet with God and show your love and respect for him. It's not so much necessarily about what we get out. It's about what we want to give. And then the other thing that he really challenged me on was, what about when you don't really feel like praising? Because I've already said, you know, often praising is defined by people smiling, looking jolly and dancing. And if we're all honest, there are times when we probably don't feel like doing that. Some of you have probably heard me talk before of a friend that I have. She's a lifelong friend. We went to school together. And about 4 years ago now, her husband had leukemia and died. And she was only my age, so at that point she was sort of mid-30s. And she just had this sort of year of the most horrendous, I don't know if you call it luck, whether you call it fate, whether you call it plan, but it was a horrendous year. So he was very ill and she was going visiting him in London, and she came home one night back to Colchester from the hospital. And imagine, you know, he was in one of these places where, because of the treatment he was having, you had to sort of go into a sealed area, shut the door, open another door because they couldn't allow any sort of germs or infection into the ward. And she'd been there, she was going there day after day after day, and she came home one night back to Colchester to find their house had been broken into and they'd been burgled. And he then died fairly quickly after that. She had another close relative who died. And then after that, we had some very bad weather, and she went to stay with her brother one night and stayed overnight because the snow had come. When she went back to her house the next day, she found that the water tank in their loft had burst and completely flooded and destroyed all of their house. And you think, how can one person, firstly, have all that to deal with? And secondly, you know, at that point, it really shook her faith to the point, actually, that she, at that point, lost it because she couldn't even begin to grapple with what God was doing in her life. And if I'd said to her, but come on, Kate, let's praise, I think that probably she would have said to me, I can't even contemplate praising. And that's one of those difficult things, isn't there? Because there's a risk, again, as Christians, that we think that we should always be grateful to God. We've got to always be thanking him for all the good things. And genuinely, sometimes we don't feel like that. Sometimes life seems dark. Sometimes we're tired. Sometimes bad things happen and we're actually angry or we're questioning why. And again, when I was sort of thinking about that, I thought, well, I sort of felt God saying, but it's because you're confusing praise again with celebration or joviality. Praise is more than that. Praise is, think of it more as a sort of positive acknowledgement of the importance of God in your life, that because you love God, and because you may not always understand what's going on in life, you still, however, want to remain with God in the whole of your being. And therefore, you still live in a way that recognizes God's power, recognizes God's control, recognizes that you respect him. And that in itself is praise to God. It doesn't have to be this open, very jolly show, or that at times you may feel like that, that actually it can be just a quieter way of being. You know, it was good that one of the songs we sung tonight had that phrase, you deserve our every breath. And it was as if God was saying to me, that's what true praise is. It's your every breath. It isn't about coming to church on Sunday and enjoying the drums and singing loudly. It's about, true praise is about you, your every breath looking to me. And I guess we do that in our body, we do that in our mind, we do that with our soul. You know, when we look at the supporters that were on the screen at the beginning, you know, they use their bodies to show the praise of their team or of the person they're following, don't they? They wear a t-shirt, they go and they buy a season ticket to attend the venue, they go to the venue with others. And even before they've stepped into the venue, all of those things show their allegiance, show their respect, show their loyalty and their desire to be connected to that thing. And so again, you know, even in times when things are really hard and you don't feel like coming and singing your hardest in worship, just by coming to church, by meeting with other Christians, by drinking from your St. Matt's mug, by going to a house group or a church social event, they're all ways that you're recognizing the importance of God in your life. Those things are praising him. You're dedicating part of your life to him. The time that you spend and how you choose to spend it. Sometimes, obviously, our behaviour means that we're not acting in a godly way, and therefore our behaviour maybe isn't praising him, and we have to put that right ourselves. But I do think we need to re-educate ourselves that praise of God does not have to mean jumping around in worship with smiles on our faces. It can mean using our bodies just to live in a way that shows allegiance to God in the things we choose to do. As well as our bodies, you know, our minds. Again, if you look at those people earlier on, you will have seen them, probably they spend lots of time reading up on their favourite football team, reading the autobiography of whoever it might be, listening and watching to them. And there was one day when I was so excited that I'd got Robbie Williams tickets. I was on my way to visit my friend and actually drove past the junction for the A12 because I was so excited about thinking about the fact I'd just got these tickets. And it was only when I got past the M11, which is a couple of junctions, I thought, not sure I should have come this far. I was just so wrapped up in just the thought that I'd got these tickets. So that's very sad. I have had healing since. It's fine. You know, do we fill our minds with God in that same way? Because again, you know, giving praise to God means that we want just to spend that time to fill our minds with God. And therefore, even in times when there's great sorrow, choosing to pray, choosing to read your Bible is still devoting yourself to God. It's still a way in which you are praising God because you are showing that you want to love him and that you need him in that situation even more. You're sacrificing other things to make time to fill our minds with God is praise of God by the very fact that we prioritize him. And so again, you know, we don't have to necessarily think that praise is jumping around with a smile on our face. It can be sitting quietly reading our Bible. And then as well as our body and our mind, our soul as well. You know, praising God, wanting to live our whole life praising God should be something that changes the person that we are. You know, for the better, hopefully. I don't know if any of you have seen the film, it's a relatively old film now, Green Street. It's about football violence and it's about, there's lots of really bad language in it, I probably shouldn't be recommending it at all. But it's about the way in which people who get so wrapped up in a sort of idea and a motivation and a desire for a football team get involved in violence. And, you know, that desire to stick close to the heart of what drives that thing changes the very being of people in that film for the worse. You know, does our desire to live by God's laws, to prioritize him in our world, does that permeate our whole being? Because that desire to live by his example, to help people, to read our Bible, all of that is praising him. And we do that because of the things in this passage, because we believe he's all powerful, because we believe he's a creator, because of the grace he's shown us. But all those things are praise. And I don't want to disregard joy, because I think it is great, you know, to come and to be joyful. And, to, you know, I love that song that the kids sing in the morning that goes, I don't know about you, but I came here today to celebrate God. And they all sort of dance at the front and they stand on their heads and they do all sorts of mad things. And there's something in that that we mustn't lose. You know, God wants us to be joyful. And when things go well, we're often very quick to pray for things, but we're not always as quick to thank God and be joyful when we feel he's answered our prayers. And it's really important. I don't in any way want to undervalue the smiling and the shouting and, you know, all of that. That has a definite place. But I guess what I wanted to say tonight, and what I felt God was sort of pressing into me to say tonight, was that the good news is that in the times when you don't feel like being that smiley person, or actually if that's just not you, if being that guy on screen just isn't really you, that that's all right. That doesn't mean that you are not praising God. That praising God, true praise, is about living in a way that honours him, devoting our time to getting to know him more, however we feel about that. There was a picture that I had as a child. It's the last picture. And it was this one, and it just sort of stayed with me because as somebody who's a bit of a noisy person, this picture used to hang in my bedroom, and it was always a picture I felt of quiet. I've always loved animals, and I guess that's probably why it was in my bedroom. But there was a sense of the animals just gathering and just sitting in a still, quiet way at Jesus' feet. And it was really odd in some ways that it was that picture that came back into my mind when I was thinking about this passage, because I would never, as a child, have looked at it and thought, oh, praise. Because in my head, I'd always associated praise with noise and smiling and music and all those things. And yet actually, it came into my mind when I was thinking about it, because actually, those animals are just sitting quietly. All that's filling their life at that moment is God. And that's really what God was challenging me when I was thinking about this. That's true praise. Thinking about God, wanting our time to be more of him. It's about our intention to have a focus on him in our lives rather than what we're getting back out in return. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the great majestic God that you are, that psalmist talks about, a God whose love for us has given us the most wonderful planet. Whose love for us has given us a certainty over our future, over our enemies. And I just pray, Lord, that you will never allow us to feel inadequate in our praise of you. I pray that you will help us to find those ways in which we spend our time praising you. And that whatever the challenge might be for us individually, whether it's finding more time to read our Bible, whether it's finding more time to pray, whether it's just coming to church regularly, that, Lord, we will understand that all of those things are part of praising you. And that all we do, Lord, is worthy to you. Father, we do come here today to celebrate you. But we thank you that you are with us in the good times and the bad. And Lord, when we find it hardest, perhaps, to celebrate, walk with us, Lord, reminding us that even the small things we do, the choices we make, allow us to praise you. Amen.